Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McRae of the News Tribune. And before we start to talk about what will probably be a win for the Missouri Tigers this week, we've got to talk about an extremely ugly loss from last week. So last week, in case you've tried to block it out or you've forgotten already, that was a 66-24 loss to Tennessee, and it felt like it was a 66-24 loss.
It didn't at halftime.
No, it didn't. And that, then things got out of control.
That was a bit ridiculous. It's very, very weird to think Missouri was within a score in the second half.
Right.
And then gave up, 38 unanswered points, I think.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when you're only averaging allowing, 22 points a game.
Right.
Giving up 38 unanswered, it's pretty ridiculous.
And we kind of had a feeling, obviously, that Tennessee was a wounded team. They were going to come out angry. They were going to try to come out and prove points. You knew they were probably going to try to run it up if they could, just to try to get some style points to, you know, help with the BCS voters or whatever. But I don't think that even when you're expecting a team to run it up, you expect a team to rack up 724 yards, especially against a defense that had been playing pretty well.
Yeah, which, I mean, is a pretty impressive performance. I don't know how much the playoff voters are going to be.
Right. I would hope they wouldn't be swayed.
Considering Missouri, you know, but if you really look at it, yeah, Missouri was at least keeping close with every SEC team they played. They held Georgia, you know, to 24 in a very close game. So
right.
That is an incredible performance against what was or what has been a very good defense all season. But yeah, you don't see a lot of total yardage games that start with a 7.
Yeah, and again, when you look at the Tennessee record books and goes, okay, the previous record was set against Troy, you expect to see those numbers against Troy. You don't expect to see that against a Missouri. So now Missouri eclipses Troy, and they're the all-time record holder. So, I don't want to spend a whole lot more time on it other than to just say Hennon Hooker was, you know, as good as we thought he was going to be.
Yeah, that's his Heisman game.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he needed a game like that. If he was going to have a statement game like that, you go, okay, that's one that he needs to have, you know, have an effort like that. The one thing I will say is that I maybe want to kind of get into a little bit more is the weird thing is you look at it and go, okay, yes, the defense obviously had a bad game for the first time in a while. The offense strangely played kind of okay at times and looked like it was, you know, better than I expected sometimes against the Tennessee team.
I think the first half was the best the offense has played in an SEC game.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely through the air.
Right.
Brady Cook had 3 passing touchdowns.
Right.
And he had, 5 all season going in. So, yeah, it was a much better performance offensively, at least in the first half, until that, you know, run of 38 unanswered points. But yeah, I mean, not a terrible performance from the Missouri offense. If they score that many points, you know, most weeks, they're probably going to win.
And I think, and you bring up Brady Cook, and I think it's just kind of like, unfortunately for him, he does have kind of maybe his best game of the season in a game where it just gets completely overshadowed.
Yeah. Where there's no one's way talking that's the story.
Yeah, exactly. Because you look at it and go, okay, you know, if you told me ahead of the game that Brady's going to throw for 217 and run for 106, you're going to go, something strange is happening.
Right.
Maybe Missouri's in this one. Missouri wasn't anywhere near being in this one, and his game is probably going to get forgotten. Other than to say, maybe that's the confidence boost that he has been looking for probably all season long to kind of maybe help him take the next step in his maturation process.
Yeah, I guess it just depends how he's looking at it after that because, yeah, you had a great individual game and the team lost by 40.
Right.
So, you know, it's very possible that could be a confidence boosting game, just seeing how effective the offense can be.
Sure.
If he makes certain decisions. But yeah, then again, you still lost by 40.
So. Right. So if we turn our focus ahead, then we're looking towards today's game. It's a 6:30 start on ESPNU. It's against New Mexico State. I think there's a lot to talk about in this game, but I'm going to start with kind of the first thing, which is the fact that as bad as the Tigers have looked at points in this season, they're coming into this game as a 29-point favorite, which I didn't know they were going to be a 29-point favorite on anybody this year. And it's a New Mexico State team that's 4-5.
And so, it's won 3 in a row.
Yeah. So, you see, that number jumped out at me this week, and I just couldn't get past it because it was just kind of one of those things where you're looking and go, really? I mean, is it a team that's struggled to score 29 in any game this season at times? Now is the 29-point favorite? That's kind of an interesting number for me.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be, Missouri's third time scoring 30 if they reach that. The other two were weeks 1 and 3.
Right.
Other kind of nothing teams.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you gotta hope the offense is able to put up 30, 40 against New Mexico State. Yeah, a 29.5 point spread is insane.
I wonder if that's just based on, you kind of look at maybe teams in a similar boat as Missouri this year on New Mexico State's schedule, where you look at like a Wisconsin who's fine but not great this year, beat them 66-7, and Minnesota who's okay but nothing, no great shakes, they beat them 38-0. So I think maybe you're looking at those numbers, and maybe that's what the odds makers are looking at going against teams that, you know, clearly have an advantage on them. That's probably what we should expect from this game.
I think that's probably a good way to look at it. Yeah, you gotta hope. I mean, this is absolutely a must win, right?
Right.
This is, should be, you know, able to put a W in the record book. You know, at the beginning of the season, this is a game where you say, all right, that's a win.
Right.
And yeah, if you don't win by 3 scores or more, then it's a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's one of those games like we talked about with week 1 and week 3 where there's not necessarily a lot that you're going to be able to look at this game and say, like, yeah, that was impressive. Or, you know, I wasn't expecting such a good performance from this guy or that guy, because it's almost nothing competition.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's worth noting, like you say, they are on New Mexico State is on a 3-game winning streak, but the wins come against Lamar, UMass, and New Mexico. So, again, it's not like they've stunned anybody. They've won some games on their schedule that were probably winnable games. You know, the only other win they have against, you know, is
Hawaii.
Against Hawaii, and again, Hawaii is 2-9. So
probably the worst FBS team in football.
Exactly. Yeah. So you don't look at it and go, okay, yeah, they've got some scary wins on their resume. They've just got wins on the resume that they should have. So I guess the thing is this week, then, this is going to be another one of those, you know, need to take care of business games, have to take care of business games, but also, like you say, I think the only thing that can come out of this one from our standpoint probably is something to talk about next week, is if they underachieve or if they fail to, you know, do anything. Because again, they could do anything. They could come out and they could cover that 29, and I'd go, okay, fine. Sure, probably should have. You know, that doesn't impress me. The only thing that will have us talking next week is if they come out and they kind of, you know, underperform to the point where, you know, it's the same sort of thing we were talking about maybe with those early non-conference
games. I think we had kind of exactly that conversation after the Abilene Christian game where, yeah, you won by a lot, but I don't remember being impressed by anything that happened in
Correct.
That game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's kind of that situation where it's all like, it's a W on the schedule, but it's almost a no win analysis wise.
Sure.
There's nothing to learn about your team this week.
And I guess, you know, we haven't talked about it yet, but it's kind of a gotta have it from the standpoint of, if you want to have it, you know, if you want to have a chance to be bowl eligible at the end of this is the only kind of intrigue that goes into it. But again, I think you can kind of almost just go ahead and pencil this one in. It's just a matter of, okay, you know, can you pencil anything in with this team?
Right. I mean, best way to look at it, I think, is just the absolute get-right game. You know,
right.
You have the blow-up game against Tennessee, your worst performance of the season, at least defensively. And this is a game where everything should go right.
Right.
Right. You are better in every facet this week. So go out there, play loose, play easy, win by 35.
Right.
And have some confidence going into the last week of the year and try to get bowl eligible against Arkansas.
So I think the you know, the kind of maybe the questions that you do have going into this one are maybe just who might we see or that we haven't seen for a while, or who might get a little more time this week, or might we see some unfamiliar faces that, you know, we haven't seen to this point.
So I have an idea of where you're going with the question. I'm going to say, first off, it is senior night, so probably expect some playing time for some seniors who maybe haven't gotten a ton of it.
Sure.
Barry Bannister and Toski Dove both had pretty nice performances against Tennessee as the two main senior receivers, probably big nights for them coming up. But where I had an idea where you're going with this, probably Sam Horn. We've been talking about
that's a Sam Horn question.
Him getting it in, him getting into a game. For a few weeks now, there was an expectation he'd get in against Vanderbilt that was talked about. Yeah, this is the week where you got to hope you're up by four scores at halftime and you can just give him the second half.
Yeah.
Because there is no blowing the red shirt now, right? He hasn't played yet, so the most he could play is two games, maybe three if you throw him into a bowl game if you make it. So
right.
There's no way to burn the red shirt. He's still a freshman next year. You know, let him have the second half once you're up by four scores and see what he can do.
And then I think Horn's the obviously one you look at and go, okay, as someone who hasn't played a ton that you want to see or haven't, you know, has played that, you know, that's the obvious one. The kind of other thing that I think this game can be is a kind of a game from the standpoint of guys who, you know, maybe haven't done as much as we wanted to see from them, or, well, I guess I'll just start with Nathaniel Pete. This is a game where I think where he's kind of been largely non-existent, the kind of the closing stages of the season, where you go, I wonder why, and I wonder if that's a game where do you give Cody Schrader a rest because he's been carrying the bulk of the, you know, the carries and the load for, last two-thirds of the season. He's been the feature back. So is this a game where we see maybe some more Nathaniel Pete, or is this a game where, you know, with him being, what, I think he's a senior now, so you kind of give up and go, okay, that's, you know, we've moved on from that, and this might be an audition time for some of those other running back guys that you maybe don't know a lot about.
I think it's a game where you could get a lot of the running backs. You know, there are five or six on roster, I think.
Right.
Trader, I mean, he probably needs a get-right game, too. He had a not very good performance against Tennessee. So,
right.
Yeah, maybe that's a situation where you give him 10 carries just to, you know, see if he can muster 50, 60, 70 yards.
Sure.
And break one open or something.
Right.
Yeah, it's a situation where, again, it's senior night, so sure, yeah, get senior Nathaniel Pete in there. Let him, you know, run wild on 6-8 carries or something, and then, yeah, maybe give Elijah Young or Taj Butts kind of the load and see if they're able to actually handle it. Again, you know, it's not something where you're going to say if Taj Butts comes out and has a 12 for 90-yard game where you're going to say, yeah, well, that's the guy.
But, right.
You know, it would be good to see for some of the younger guys.
And this almost feels like it might be a good Luther game, too, from the standpoint of, where, you know, after having an okay game, you know, against Kentucky, 6 for 60. Then last week it was just two catches for 15 yards, you know.
Did get another touchdown, so
yeah,
still tied for the team lead in touchdowns.
Sure.
With five.
But you almost feel like this is the game where they might just go, okay, this is a game where we want to turn you loose and maybe try some stuff. Because, again, you're not so much worried. I think sometimes there's a tendency with players like him to, like, go, let's not show everything you can do too early on in the season because people get film on it. Well, how many teams left do you have to worry about getting film on it? And at this point, you might as well try anything you can just to kind of see if this guy can be what you think he can be.
Especially, I think, if you are giving the second half to Sam Horn, you know, you're in that type of situation where you just say, all right, go try it, kid.
Right.
Then, yeah, have him take shots to Luther all day, see what that connection looks like, because that could be the basis of what your offense is going forward.
Exactly. Then I guess the other point is, you know, this is a game where I think that if anybody else has a get-right game, it's the defense. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see these guys come out angry and try to, you know, I'm not saying they will, but I wouldn't be surprised to see if they want to come out there and post a shutout.
Or, I mean, you know, a sub 10-point performance. You never know if a big play is going to hit or something. But
right.
A sub 10-point performance would be preferable, certainly. Maybe, you know, a couple of turnovers.
Right.
To get the feeling back, right? It's just that second half, it was just so bad. I mean, Hendon Hooker's incredible. I don't want to, you know, make it seem like Missouri's defense was just playing bad. He's just fantastic.
Right.
But, man, that must leave just a terrible taste in your mouth. And you have to come out and put up a 0 or a 7 or something, a 3, you know, one of those and a couple of turnovers that could get you feeling pretty good going into Arkansas.
And I guess, you know, this is kind of one that, you know, we've talked about the vagaries of the schedule all year long where you kind of, well, we get good games at good times and bad games at bad times. And then this is, I think, kind of one of those good time to get this game and then, you know, get you to 5-6 probably, and then get you focused on, you know, winning that last one against Arkansas and, you know, devoting all your energies into that one, because that's going to be, you know, again, in a season where we said this is a big game or this is a big game, that might be the biggest game of your entire season at that point.
Well, absolutely. If that, you know, that's going to be the one that makes you bowl eligible, that's an enormous game. It's going to be very interesting just thinking back on, you know, if worst case scenario, you know, Missouri wins this week, loses next week, 5-7, doesn't get into a bowl game, which they still could at 5-7. You know, it could be one of those teams that gets one of those extra bids if there aren't enough 6-6 teams.
Right.
That's never a good look, though.
Right.
Anyways.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there at 5-7 and you can say, we were kind of an errant, you know, ridiculous fumble away from beating Auburn, we were a red zone interception away from beating Florida, we were maybe, you know, a penalty away from beating Georgia, you know, the roughing the kicker against Kentucky probably away from beating them.
Right.
You know, that's a possible swing of four wins.
Right.
On kind of ridiculous circumstances. So you could be looking at it and saying, yeah, we're 5-7, but it's not ridiculous to say they could have been 9-3.
Sure.
If you're looking at it that year.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, and that's even depending on how Arkansas goes. So, you know, if that's another one of those games where it's just kind of one ridiculous moment, then you're looking 5-7, it could have been 10-2.
Right, right.
Right? It's crazy how close Missouri has been in all of these games. Kind of, you know, we've talked about it many times, with being one play or one moment away from a win.
Right.
In so many of these games, and they could very reasonably end up 5-7 and not going to a bowl.
Yeah. All right, I guess it gets us to the prediction point. I'll just ask you, how ugly do you think this one is today?
I think you probably have to make it ugly.
Right.
Right? Like how we were talking about Tennessee last week wanting to come out and put on a show.
Sure.
I think Missouri's in that situation this week. You want to come out and make it look as bad as possible. So,
yeah.
Let's say Missouri wins 42-0.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McArabi, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McArabi on Twitter at Kyle_McArabi. That's M-C-A-R-E-A-B-Y. Thanks for listening.